Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. We are your host, Elder and Evangelist White. Excuse me. Please go with us for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, bold but humble, saying thank you. I thank you for fresh manna you give us every Saturday. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people for a time such as now. I thank you for preparing the way and anointing these lips of clay to speak only what you would have us to speak. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Good morning, good people, and good morning, Elder White.
Good morning, Evangelist White. How are you this morning?
I am blessed, sir, and highly favored,
amen.
On top and still rising.
Praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning.
Good to see you too, my love. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Amen. So, today's topic, huh?
Amen.
Is your foundation solid? Is yours, Elder?
You better believe it.
Amen. And because I follow you as you follow Christ, mine is too. We're going to start, actually, I'm going to go to the Word first. I want to go to Matthew 7. 24 through 29. And that's Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 29. And here it is in red. This is Jesus speaking, talking about the two foundations. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, shall be likened unto them. Excuse me. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Amen.
Jesus concluded that all who both hear and do his sayings shall be saved. Jesus also was reminding the listener that hearing the message alone will not change one's life. They have to both hear and do what Jesus says. The man whose house collapsed was at fault, not because he failed to labor, but because he did not lay the proper foundation. The shifting sand represents human opinion and the doctrines of men as opposed to the word of God. The entire Sermon on the Mount is addressed to the believers' faith in Jesus as Messiah. The works done by the believers are not based on himself, but on the rock who is ultimately Jesus Christ. He is the person incarnation of all his teaching. When Jesus finished speaking, the people were astonished. And if I continue that, that is in 28 and 29, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, when Jesus finished speaking, the people were amazed. The wonderful thing about Jesus' teaching was his authority, meaning the divine approval and authority of constraint, which he delivered his message, such a straightforward preaching based on the depths of one's own life was in direct contrast to that of the scribes, who were the copyists of the law and the theologians of their day. They had to rely on tradition for their authority, whereas Christ was his own authority.
Amen.
Amen. The material upon which you lay your foundation will determine the strength of the structure that it is built upon. If one builds their house on sand, trust, it will collapse when it is put to the test. Both houses are similar in construction. Both houses must withstand storms, but each house has a different material upon which its foundation is laid, and each house has a different final outcome. One house is built by a wise man upon a rock, and it stands. The other is built by a foolish man and sand, and it collapses. Today, listeners, I want to ask you, are you the wise man or are you the foolish one? Elder, what do you think about that topic? Is your foundation solid?
I mean, I think it's an important one.
Yes.
And because when you think about the foundation, and you already alluded to it, that this is what the church of the everlasting God is.
Yes.
It is the pillar and foundation stone of the truth.
Mm.
And, you know, let's make sure that we understand that we're not talking about natural buildings.
Amen.
But we are talking about
spiritual.
We are talking about souls. We are
yes.
talking about men and women of God.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's what we are in the business of building.
Yes.
You know, or perfecting.
Yes. At least Elder, at least that's the business we should be in.
Right. Amen. We're talking about building or being disciples.
Yes.
And that comes with a cost.
Yes.
I'm reminded of the scriptures that says, what man buildeth a house and not sit down and count the cost.
That's right, Elder.
Of it.
Yes.
You know, this is a illustration talking about what goes into ministry.
Mm, that's good.
What goes into discipleship.
Good.
And Jesus made it plain in Luke 14 and 26.
Yes.
He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also,
yes.
it says he cannot be my disciple.
Mm.
And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he goes in to say, which one of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the fact that Jesus knew that the disciples, amen, had to bear their own cross because they were not yet put to the test as far as their ministry.
Yes.
So when it comes to ministry, we today have to do the same thing. We have
yes.
to look at what cost is going to come. So when he's talking about those different relationships, it means a lot of times to stand on the foundation of truth.
That's right.
A lot of times you're going to that means that you're going to have to put God before you put your mother, your father, or anybody.
That's right.
When it comes down to the work of the ministry.
That's right.
In other words, you can bet your bottom dollar that there's a cross.
Yes.
That you're going to have to bear. This is a suffering way. This is not something that we just do. So Jesus is saying you got to make sure, for the sake of the ministry that he has called you in, that you have sufficient to finish it. Just like Jesus, he went all the way to the end and said, it is finished.
Yeah.
You know, it is done. You know what I mean? He has did what he has been called to do. And a lot of times that came with a lot of suffering here in this world, came with a lot of rejection. Are you ready to deal with not being the favorite?
Mm. And you know what, Elder, that's so good, because that is more of the area that God, the direction that he was having me go to. You know, when we talk, well, first I wanted to say the similar appearances. You know, the immediate context of the previous verses, you know, in Matthew, they were talking actually in 7, talking about the false prophets, would suggest that the outward structures look very similar. So both these homes probably on the outside look very similar, just like a lot of saints and ain'ts look very similar on the outside. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
But they're not distinguished by their outer appearance, but the type of fruit they bear. That's how you could tell, you know, God's saints by the fruit they bear, his tree. And so Jesus says here that two men built houses. Now, one was wise and the other foolish, but you could not tell them apart by their outward structures. They become distinguished when the storms come.
Uh-huh.
See, because it's at this point the foundation is tested. This is a second resemblance. Both houses would have to endure the elements and be tested by storms. Now, what I wanted to say is storms will come. There's no stopping them. And sometimes storms come with warning, and at other times they come suddenly without warning. But the storms will come. And my grandmother used to always say, baby, if you have not been through nothing, just live a little bit longer.
Yeah.
When the storm does come, it will test what is hidden from the view. A storm brings wind, rain, and flooding. A storm bursts or beats against the house. Now, we're speaking in the natural. But storms are a normal part of life. James 1 and 2 describes this and says, when he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. The trial of life are nothing strange. They are a normal part of living. As we walk this earth, we will come across them." The true Christian can consider these trials, these storms of life, as joyful encounters, because as James continued, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It is not joy in the storm, but joy over the product the storm produces, which is maturity. And as again, when they were speaking here, when Jesus was speaking here about the two homes, and if you notice, it's talking about the natural, the rain, the wind, the floods, you know, and we're talking about natural things that can hit a home. But when God took me a little bit deeper, he was talking about the storms of life. And one of the things that I wanted to say, Elder, thank you, Holy Ghost, was about the viewing, the you know, I am so frustrated. I don't know what to say when it comes to everybody believing everything that comes out of someone's mouth. The Bible says, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirit and see if it's the spirit of God. See, even though a person can look and act like a Christian, it is all about trying them. It's all about testing. And see, you'll find out who is really who they say they are when the tests come and they're tried. And so I love how God explained how a wise man is and how a foolish man is. Economic hard charges is nothing new, even for Christians. But when the storms come against you, your foundation will become evident. True Christians can withstand a storm without anxiety, because if we already seen Jesus point out in Matthew 6, they will obey his command to cease being anxious and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The major decision Christians are to make when it comes to economics are spiritual in nature, not financial. Their purpose in life is to serve the Lord, not man, not money. So there is a peace even when financial woes arise. That is true. This is not true for the foolish. Their treasure is the things of this world which they serve. Their hearts are on material things, not the Lord. So when the economic storms come, they worry. So, you know, the economic storms was, you know, we can just say that was like the rain. You know, I'm just trying to give them a natural and a spirit of what we sometimes endure and go through. So, Elder, let me ask you a question. When it's talking about both look, you know, I say the saint and the ink, you know, the outer appearance, you know, that's why man has to have the spirit of discernment, right? Because the homes look the same on the out, but when it's tested and it's tried, what exactly would you say about that as far as those who are coming, as wolves in sheep clothing? You know, how does one really test and try it before? Because sometimes you get a warning, and sometimes you don't. It just sneaks up on you.
My answer to that is that as leaders, we have to stick to the blueprint.
And what is the blueprint, Elder?
The blueprint is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, when you build a house, I was fascinated. You know, have you ever been a part of the process of home building?
Mm-hmm.
There's specifications or plans,
yes,
that you have to have with the house. You can't get these little cute little designs that you get online.
Mm-hmm.
They have to meet specifications that is usually drawn up by an architect,
yes,
you know, or in an engineer.
Yes.
Because when you go into certain areas of a home, they got to meet certain codes.
And
if you're looking for bank financing, they're not going to give it to you without those certified plans.
Yes.
And they cost thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they cost a lot of money to get that done, because it has everything on there where you can take it and give it to a contractor or a builder, and they now have all of the things, everything written on there, where every plug, all of the electrical, all of the different things that need to go, the measurements, everything is there. Jesus gives us specific specs on how to build disciples.
Jesus.
We are not in the business for natural home building. We are in the business for building souls and disciples for Christ.
Yes.
Because Jesus said that everything that you see is going to pass away.
That's right.
Even when they was referring to him, and he was talking about this temple, this beautiful edifice that you see here in Jerusalem, he said in 3 days this temple is going to come down, but I'm going to raise it back up again.
That's right.
They thought that he was talking about a natural, but he was talking about the spiritual temple.
Yes.
And we have to be about our Father's business.
That's right.
Like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, he said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, has a wise master builder.
Yes.
We are master builders. I have laid the foundation, and another build thereupon. But he said, but let every man take heed how he build upon it.
Yes.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And you remember when Jesus Christ told Peter, when he told Peter, listen, he said, upon this rock I shall build my church,
that's
and the gates
right.
of hell should not prevail against it.
That's right.
He was talking about Peter.
That's right.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble,
yes.
he said, every man's work shall be made manifest.
That's right.
And he said, for the day shall declare it. Your day is coming.
That's right.
Where whatever it is that you have been building on the foundation of Jesus, if it was not according to the specifications that he has called.
Jesus.
You understand?
That's
on that
right.
day, you are going to know, because the winds is going to come. He said, because it shall be revealed by fire.
That's right.
And the fire shall try every, not just my work.
Come on.
Not just, he said, but every man's work
every.
Of what sort it is. So, you know, evangelists, we don't have to do a whole lot of yelling and screaming and talking and beating folk up. All we have to do is tell you what thus saith the Lord and then leave it on to them.
And, you know, Elder, I'm so glad you said that, because I wanted to make it very, you know, one of the things that God was dealing with me with was that many who are even in positions, I just have to give it the way God has given it to me. The ones who are in position, who are pastors and bishops and so forth, they are thinking, you know, that I'm doing it, you know, God's way. And we don't take heed to warnings. We don't take heed to what God is speaking and what God is saying. And that's why Matthew 7, you know, 21 and 24, that to me is God's judgment. And when I say that, because it said in 27, the last, you know, said, and great was the fall of it. And here, you know, this one is speaking about 21 through 23, and he's speaking to the ones of us who say we are the believer. It says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The final storm the foolish will face will be their judgment before God. And this is what Jesus was saying right here in I believe, Matthew 7 and 27, that not only did the house fall, but great was its fall. You see, this section is a further illustration of what Jesus has been dealing with, you know, in Matthew. There are two gates. Which one have you entered? There are two paths. Which one are you walking? There are two destinations. Where will you end up? Jesus gives warning in Matthew 7, 15, and 20 about, you know, not only the false prophets, but he's telling us just what you had just read actually is one, the 1 Corinthians
third
chapter. And I was going to do 10, where it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And depending on how you lay your foundation depends on when that foundation is tested, if it's really going to stand. See, when you lay the foundation of Christ, and when the storms come, and trust me, Elder, they're going to come. When the storms come, you know, the kind of storms when you know, your money's, you know, at the bottom, You know, when you get that call that your child is not going to make it. You know, when people turn, when things happen, storms. If you are rooted and grounded and anchored in the Word of God, then when those tests and trials come, it will show who you really are standing for. But if you are a foolish man and you really depended on man, when those tests and trials come, your foundation will collapse. You ain't going to be able to stand. You're not going to be able to make it. And you're absolutely right. You don't have to beat the people up. You would think that the people would take heed, but
here. Well, let me say this. The foundation has already been laid.
That's right.
You're not laying another.
That's right.
You're not laying another foundation.
That's right.
God, Jesus, the foundation which is Jesus has already been laid. You're now
building
up on
right.
what Jesus has already laid.
That's right.
And He has left the church with specifications on how to build up souls for Christ.
That's good.
And that same, and then those same scriptures in 3-10. You know, when you go to 16, He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Yes.
If any man defile the temple of God, He says, him shall God destroy.
Yes.
For the temple of God is holy." And then He asks the question, "Which temple are ye?
Jesus.
Which building?" When everybody looks upon it, are you? And holiness is something that is not seen, you know, basically on the outside. You get a little bit of what's on the inside, but it's really about the testing of what's on the inside of you. So that's very that is very important when
we start talking
about the foundation.
Amen. You know, one of the other. When I think about the rain and the floods and, you know, I believe it was the rain, the wind, and the floods that came upon that house in the natural. You know, another one that comes against your spiritual house, your spiritual temple, is health, pain, and suffering. You know, another storm that is a part of life is sickness and physical suffering. This world is under the curse of sin and does not function according to God's original design. One of the consequences of that curse is sickness. Our bodies do not work the way they were originally designed, resulting in genetic disorder, hypersensitivity to the environment, and other problems. Our environment is not in the shape it was originally designed, resulting in our food not having the nutrient contents it should have and conditions toxic to us. Other creatures have been affected by sin, so they exploit an alternative food source, us. We are attacked by bacteria, fungus, viruses, and host of other parasites and predators. Our minds have been affected, and we do really stupid things to both our bodies and to others. This is in addition to people just being plain mean and hurting one another. When these various physical alignments strike us, we can get knocked off our feet and then can easily fall into depression and despair. See, we're still talking about the wise and the foolish man. We're talking about the storms that come, not just in the natural, but in the spirit, the things that we don't really speak about. Christians are not immune to pain and suffering. In fact, we suffer more than others because we also suffer at the hands of sinful men who persecute the righteous. Christians do suffer physically. Paul, Elder White, had a thorn in his flesh of some type that came directly from who?
God.
Timothy had some sort of ongoing stomach alignment. There's different storms that we have. See, we talk about the foundation, and the foundation has already been built. I mean, excuse me, has already been laid. But what are you building upon that foundation? That's the thing. What do your materials look like?
Yeah. You know, something that just stuck out to me that is among probably one of the most dangerous things when building anything is not being in the right mindset,
being
spiritually minded.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about all the things that naturally happen, you understand. These are things that are going to happen. These are things that everybody has to deal with in the natural realm. But if you are not elevated in dealing with God, because God is a spirit, and the Bible says to be To be spiritually minded is life, and
that's
to be
right.
carnal minded is death.
Right.
And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the reason why many are failing in the church is because we still operate from a carnal sense, and we are not operating from the spirit of our minds and connecting with God, who is a spirit, because the hour and the time is coming when the true worshiper will worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
And that foundation is the foundation, again, of truth. And we're not standing upon the truth of God. See, God already, again, gave us the specifications. We make it hard.
That's right.
God already laid it out. This evangelist has already laid out on what it is that God requires us to do.
That's right.
And it is up to us as leaders to ensure, especially in our churches today,
Jesus.
It is important, amen, that we lay not only let them know the foundation has already been laid, but that we build upon the specifications that Jesus Christ has sealed in his word.
And you know what, Elder, I'm going to tell you something. It does not matter how pretty a church looks on the outside and how decorative it is on the inside. If you were not building it correctly on the inside, it is going to fall.
Well, you know, think about it. All that stuff is going to, you know, whenever, we want to leave a legacy.
That's right.
But we don't want to leave a legacy and build up something and we don't have a legacy to leave it to
that's right.
going to carry on the work. That's what
right.
Jesus Christ was about. Jesus Christ was about, listen, passing this thing on or passing the mantle on to the apostles. And
yes.
the apostles were passing it on to those converts that were coming up after them. But we want to leave something so that the work of the ministry and of Christ can go because the building is going to eventually go away. But if we make our efforts into only building and working on the natural, then what happens to the work of the kingdom of God? So our purpose and our focus has to be on building kingdom people and building disciples for Christ, amen, so that the legacy
that's right
can continue on.
And Elder, I like that. Kingdom people has always been my thing, not church folk. Kingdom people are kingdom minded. Church folk are not. And so you got to ask, am I building church folk or am I building kingdom people? You know, I wanted to say real quick, the wise man and the foolish one, the foolish man. There are those who are wise and those who are foolish. The wise enter the straight gate and walk the narrow path that leads to life. The foolish enter the wide gate and walk the broad path that leads to destruction. People can claim they believe in Jesus Christ and that they have placed their faith in him, and that they know he is their foundation and that is which they're building. But as Jesus says here, if they do not follow through with actually heeding what he says and doing it, then they are like the foolish man, busy building a house on the wrong foundation, and it will collapse. Claiming to be a follower of Jesus and doing things in his name does not necessarily mean you are saved. And I'm not saying this, the word, Matthew 7:21-23, described that tragic mistake. However, to hear Jesus' word and ignore the actions that require gives positive demonstration that you are not saved. This, at this point of this passage, the difference between the wise man and the foolish man is they do in response to what Jesus says in the sermon. The result of the wise man's response is a strong house, which stands the storms of life. This is the response of entering the straight gate, walking the narrow path, and finding life. The results of a foolish man's response is a house that falls with a great fall. It is the response of entering the broad gate, walking the wide way, and concludes in destruction. The rock the wise man builds upon is true righteousness found in Jesus Christ alone. The sand the foolish man builds upon is self-righteousness. You know, Elder, we may even have to do a part two because our time is pretty much up. But my question is, how are we building that in which God has already given us the foundation to build on? Is your foundation solid? Or does it have some cracks in it that you're not aware of? We want to thank you for tuning in to Food for Your Soul. We pray your foundation is solid and your natural and spiritual home is built on Christ. If God says the same, we will be on again next Saturday, the same time. If nobody else tells you, God loves you, and so do we. And Elder, do you have anything prior to leaving?
Good. Amen. Enjoyed everything. And
amen.
Pray everybody have a blessed service tomorrow in their various churches.
Amen. All right. We are your hosts for Food for Your Soul, Elder and Evangelist White, and we are signing out. God bless.
God bless.